Hello and welcome back to the Cricket Scotland podcast. I'm Clara Splitsky and I hope everyone is having an absolutely fabulous day wherever you are. Today we'll be talking to Brad and Scott Currie about their journey growing up together, playing cricket, and now playing cricket together for the first time for Scotland. But before that, I've got a couple of updates for you. So a couple of weeks ago, we spoke to Tim Preston-Jones about heading out to the Over 60s World Cup in India, and we've had some updates from him. He said it's absolutely amazing out there, and his highlight so far was when his team, the rest of the world team, beat India on home soil, chasing absolutely huge 300 to win. Back at home, Forfarshire are heading to the European Cricket League next Saturday, representing Scotland after winning the T20 Scottish Cup. So they'll be up against teams from the Netherlands, Germany, Malta, and Serbia in the group stage. So best of luck to them on that very exciting trip. And of course, our Scotland men are out in the UAE at the moment. They've had their two warm-up games prepping for the Cricket World Cup League Two tournament, which starts tomorrow versus Canada. They won the latest warm-up game with Michael Leigh scoring a whopping 92 and Brad Wheel taking 3 for 25. So that campaign officially starts tomorrow versus Canada. You can watch bright and early. I believe you can watch from 6 a.m. live and free on ICC TV. And ahead of that game, Tom, our producer, spoke to Brad and Scott. And just a note that the first curry you hear is Brad.
Brad, Scott, welcome to the Cricket Scotland podcast. How are you both doing?
Good, thanks, Tom. Yourself, mate. Good to be on it.
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Thank you. Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you guys on. Obviously, the Cricket World League Two is just a matter of days away now, getting underway. How's your time been in the UAE so far?
Again, we've had two warm-up games, obviously already. Winning one, losing one. Personally, as well, been nice to sort of actually get outside. On grass playing proper games. So yeah, I think boys are pretty well prepared. We've got another training session tomorrow leading into the game on Friday.
Yeah, what he said, mate. It's been good. It's gradual build up to what's coming up on Friday. The games come thick and fast. So I think the boys are looking forward to it and we're getting closer now and everyone's pretty excited, I think.
What's the heat been like out there so far? Have you sort of found it adjusting to that?
He'll probably say it's been fine, just coming from Oz. But to be fair, I was out here in November. I'd say it's pretty similar, maybe probably just a bit hotter. But I mean, touch wood, it's not been too bad at the moment. Personally, I'll probably say different when I've bowled 10 on the trot or something. But that's been okay so far.
Yeah, I spent the last 4 months in Adelaide, mate, so I'm slightly more acclimatized than a few of the other boys, but still warm enough, I think, when you're playing cricket. The good thing about Dubai Stadium is there's some sort of natural shade. So certainly us two and the other bowlers, when you've kind of bowled your overs, you go and hide down on the boundary
Yeah,
and seek some shade. So yeah, it's been all good, mate. Thank you.
what's a winter in Adelaide been like for you then?
It was a mixed bag, mate, to be honest. I won't lie and say it was sunny every day. There was a bit of rain in December, but certainly January, and then just as I was leaving, it was dialed up a bit. A few days at 40 degrees, the highest was about 41, and then yeah, the rest was sort of mid to late 30s. And that was quite a dry heat, quite sticky and on you. So yeah, probably quite good prep to come away in the winter and prepare for this sort of stuff as well.
Yeah, it's definitely worse ways to spend December and January, by the sounds of it. Obviously, for yourself, Scott, this is your first involvement with Scotland. So how did that feel when you got that call up, and how has it been so far?
It was something that I had on my radar for a while, mate, and obviously Bradley was the first to kind of step into it and experience it. So sort of yeah, tapping him up a bit and asking him what it was like and how it all sort of works. And yeah, as I say, when I received the call, it was obviously a big sort of step forward, realizing that you're getting closer to getting out there and getting amongst it. And yeah, so far it's been good. It helps knowing a few of the lads, obviously Bradley and the other Bradley Wheel. That helps knowing him as well and stepping in and seeing a few familiar faces. It makes those transitions a bit easier. But lads have been brilliant. It's nice to get a couple of warm-up games under our belts as well, and you sort of see how everything plays out. And obviously a little bit different to playing for Hampshire or playing for a Leicestershire side as well. So, yeah, it's been good, mate.
Is that something that Brad's been reminding you of, that he's made his Scotland debut and got there first last summer?
I mean, in age terms, I'm well behind him, but I suppose if you want to say I've done it before him, kind of. But no, I've been egging him on to get down there, well, up there, I suppose, up to Scotland. Just sort of the opportunities you get, the standard of cricket you get to play and places you get to go as well. Sort of, I mean, I've been lucky enough to come here now twice with Scotland, and went to America for the first time in my life with Scotland. So I think it was only a matter of time before sort of one nudge too many and he's cracked. But no, it didn't take him too long. It took probably a while, just blame COVID, blame injuries, opportunities, stuff like that. But no, it's nice that we're finally together in a team.
Yeah, and how, you know, you were heavily involved last summer in the T20 qualifiers. You've taken a fiver in the final game against Ireland as well to win the tournament. What was that experience like for you representing Scotland?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, having mum and dad and my auntie up there as well at the time, doing it was pretty special. Albeit I didn't put too much of a show on in my debut, and the other couple of games they watched, they probably should have stayed for the Ireland game, but they got to see it. And so I think if I could have chosen any game to properly show up, I think it would have been that Ireland game. But no, it's definitely very special, and it's that Ireland game was easily in my top three cricketing memories so far. So yeah, it's pretty special.
Is that above or behind the catch?
It's above, obviously, isn't it? Come on.
Good, good. That's what I like to hear. And you mentioned your parents there watching you. How sort of proud are they that you guys are representing Scotland now?
I think the happiest of the Currie family is probably our dad. You know, for those that don't know us, that's, you know, he was born in Scotland. And so for him to see his two boys playing for his country and our country, he's made up with it. And so, yeah, he was thrilled. I think they were trying to come out, but it's a little bit difficult getting out to Dubai, getting time off for them. It's a bit different than hopping on an easy jet flight from Gatwick for an hour. So yeah, we'll let them off. Hopefully they can come watch us somewhere later in the calendar year.
When was the last time you guys actually played together then?
Probably a second 11 county game, we reckon. We couldn't even pinpoint it. I reckon the last time we played against each other was at Warwickshire, Hampshire 2s game. My one and only appearance for Warwickshire 2s. I don't know.
We started here playing against each other, didn't we? You played for Sussex 2s, I was playing for Hampshire.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think the last time we played together, mate, was probably for Hampshire 2s.
Yeah.
Back in sort of 2019. So I think since then we've obviously played a lot more against each other, and you generally get asked about that more than you get asked about playing with. We obviously played a lot growing up with each other, and it was very familiar the other day seeing him sort of running and bar me being a sort of mid on, that kind of bit sort of deja vu there. But yeah, whenever the opportunity presents itself, I'm sure it would be a pretty cool moment. And also, like you say, mention our parents, we caused them enough pain over the years, travelling here, there, everywhere, and days where it's not gone so well. So, yeah, hopefully there's a few good days ahead in a Scotland shirt.
What was it like growing up in the Currie household then as cricketers? Who was the first one that made the dive into cricket, and how did the other one follow up?
Guilty is the older one, even though some of the lads still haven't been sure on the trip. Had to ask me, well, you're the older ones. Yeah, it's 2.5 years, lads. Some of them have still been astounded by that. But yeah, I was first. Sort of came from a local cricket session down at the Dorset Cricket Centre. Really enjoyed it. And Scott would have been like 5, 6 at the time. And I sort of showed him, I was like, wanted to show him what I learned, kind of thing. Took him and, you know, played in the back garden. And it was probably about as natural as you can get. I don't think I was a great coach at 7, but probably still not now. But he seemed to pick it up pretty cleanly and pretty quickly, running in like Glenn McGrath and whacking me into the neighbour's back gardens. And there were a few strops along the way, but I think that was the competitive nature from us too. But it shouldn't be easy out in the back garden anyway. Mum and Dad used to, their famous saying was, it's not Lords and stuff. And I don't know, we did kind of treat it like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, what are some of your memories, Scott, of growing up in the back garden with Brad as your coach as an 8-year-old, as he sort of says there?
Yeah, we probably had the perfect arena, mate. We had a strip of concrete that was about 12 yards long, I reckon. And this big, still there now, actually, this big sort of black garage door that made an awful sound when the ball crashed into it. So we used to put up like bits of plywood to sort of behind the stumps to try and quiet the noise, but I don't know if that worked too well. And yeah, we were products of the 2005 Ashes, like quite a few lads in our sort of age group, I think, and used to watch that on free to air and then sort of go out to the back garden and try and copy it. So I just remember playing with the orange Wimbles, the reader balls that are still going now, and we had a set of springback stumps that I think we've still got. A bit worse for wear over the years, mate. But yeah, Bradley's right. Bradley blames his sort of lack of batting skill on me because I used to sort of go inside and throw a hissy fit when I'd get out, so he never got the opportunity to bat, mate. So, yeah, they're some of my earliest memories of cricket in general, really.
I wanted to bring that up, but I'm glad he said it because I didn't think people would believe me. But it would always be, I'd let him bat first, being the younger brother, you'd get him out with some left arm wrist spin and then go inside because he's dropped or he's hit one in the back garden. In the neighbour's back garden, we've lost the six Incredibles back onto online and go and buy some more.
I think it's quite ironic though, mate. So Bradley mentioned Mum and Dad used to say it's not Lords, and I remember my dad saying that quite a lot. This isn't Lords, it's just a back garden. Then you fast forward to last 2022, and Bradley made his first class debut for Sussex, and he took a five or took six wickets. And yeah, I just remember following that loosely and thinking, yeah, it's not Lord's Day, Dad, but that's worked out. So, you know, maybe the incentives are always there. I think it's nice, those memories. And I'm sure there's plenty of other brothers out there that have got similar stories to tell.
Brad, did you start off as a left-arm spinner then, or was that just trying to serve up something nice for Scott to smash about in the garden?
I don't know. Just the Wimbles, you couldn't pick the revs on the ball. But it was one of those things, like Scott said, it was literally 12 yards of concrete, and so there was no run up because there was a car parked behind us. So you try and sort of lean back off the wall and off the car and then sprint in for about 3 yards and try and bowl seam. And then we probably got to an age where, I don't want to say it was too quick because he could probably face ridiculous speeds and still back then, but the spin, the wrist spin was almost the way. So I was never a spinner, but I actually still to this day think that it's helped my things like slower balls, cutters and stuff. I think bowling spin in the back garden is it's actually not the worst thing to do for youngsters growing up.
There's also like, I still remember it vividly now, it's still there. There's like a bit of the concrete that's missing. So it's got like, it's almost like, as you imagine, a foothold on a wicket. It's similar to that. And do you remember Ashley Giles used to bowl left arm sort of over the wicket to right-handed batters, and it used to be quite negative, but Bradley had like this area to hit and it would always react funnily out that, and that was just almost a better chance of getting someone out. And yeah, it was a bit fairer, I think, because the distance was so short. We sort of practiced bowling spin as we got a bit older, but yeah, there's no real, they say you're a product of your environment, but we obviously didn't turn out to spinners. So yeah, I think there was still that natural competitiveness to be a seam bowler and cause a bit of damage at the other end.
Perfect grounding for maybe batting on wickets that take a little bit more turn, or dry wickets in the UAE at least.
Yeah, that's true. I think he's probably adapted quicker than me. But yeah, that crack was that was lethal.
And sort of moving back more into the present day and this tour, are you guys rooming together or are you separate?
No, we're not. We're not together. I Scott texted me to say, have you seen the rooming list? And I said to my parents, there's no way they'll put us together. And to be fair, I mean, we've got, Scott's got Wheelie, his roommate, and then I'm with Thierry, Charlie Tier. Obviously, it's Thierry's first tour as well, so you know, big congratulations to him. But for him to come into the tour, I wouldn't have said he'd known many of the lads previously. Met a few of them in November and obviously training camp previously. But it made sense for me and Thierry to go together and Scott and Wheelie. But he'd have probably had enough of me if we were rooming together. So not the worst thing. But obviously, you know, you see each other so much for dinner, around the hotel, down the pool, play a bit of pool against each other, not let alone the cricket. So yeah, probably the right thing to not put us together.
Yeah, I've been trying to get away from him, mate. So you forced us together again. I dropped Kenny a message to say thank you for putting me with Wheelie. So yeah, it's good. I think Bradley's right. We'd probably do each other's heads in if we were together the whole time. So yeah, quite happy to see him out on the field and sort of out for dinner and things like that, and not have to worry about rooming together. But, yeah.
Who's the best around the pool table then?
Ah, I'll let you tell this story, mate.
Yeah, no, Bradley's good, mate. I've got no issues admitting that. He's good at pool. He's good at those sorts of things. They always say misspent youth, don't they? So I think that's probably true with Bradley. But
if anyone ever saw my setup on how I hold the cue, they would probably definitely take a hustle against me and try and think they could beat me. But hopefully that wouldn't be the case. But yeah, maybe people should get a pool game against me, and we'll see.
Seen on social media, you've been doing a bit of darts as well. Is that just a fan of all? Fan of all pub sports?
Throughout the winter, obviously we've got like our training schedules on and stuff, but you have a decent amount of days off. And I just think getting out and, you know, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I just think it's quite nice playing other sports. Obviously, you've got to watch what you do, but I think it's good for the head, and nice just to practice other stuff like hand-eye coordination. They all go sort of hand in hand, so been throwing a few darts. Can't say I'm too good at it, but yeah, it's just a bit of fun and sort of nice to help a mate out, Tom, who's doing his he's doing some cricket content, and it's, you know, fair play to him, it's really sort of taken off at the moment. So yeah, been doing a bit of that, playing a bit of tennis over the winter as well. Yet to see it significantly improve my batting, but hey, we might see it this tour.
Scott, have you got any sports where you can pull rank on Brad and say you're going to come out with a win there?
Football.
Football was my first sport, mate, growing up. So we played briefly the other day, and yeah, it sort of brings back a few memories. But I'm so sort of worried about getting injured now. I kind of watch what I do. So yeah, that's probably the only one, mate. He was a bit better at swimming and things like that. And I played a bit of rugby at school, but yeah, I don't profess to play that to any great level. So yeah, football's probably about it, mate, to be honest.
What football clubs do you support? Are they ones we can mention?
Yeah, up the Cherries. Both Bournemouth fans. Been to a few of the games. Boys probably not like it if I put some Solanke celebrations into any wickets we get on this tour, but don't be surprised if you see something slip in there.
Right, so we've got to watch out for any Dominic Solanke-inspired celebrations then over the next couple of weeks. And so looking ahead to those fixtures, you obviously played the UAE a couple of times in the warm-up games. Sort of what have you sort of learned from those games going forward now into the real stuff, as it were?
I think you probably have this preconceived idea that, you know, you come down to sort of subcontinental conditions and you think, oh, it's just spin galore. But the pitches, the first two warm-up pitches, we were on the side of the square. So albeit, you know, the games are in the middle of the square, so pitches might play a bit different. But new balls swung for a decent amount of period. And the pitches have had probably more inconsistency in them, and a bit more of like a thicker layer of it's not grassy, it's not green to say, but you're probably, like I say, the preconceived idea out here is that it's just sort of a very sort of bare pitch and sort of takes the spin quite nicely. But sort of been pleasantly surprised. They've sort of offered a little bit, but like all things with cricket, you put the ball in the right area and ask some decent questions consistently, don't think you can go too far wrong.
Yeah, I think sort of around working out what lengths you need to bowl, definitely. And then also on the batting front, the batting group, I think we've seen that in the two warm-up games, maybe the scores aren't going to be particularly high. The boundaries are pretty big. It's quite a big playing surface, so a lot of twos and the fitness side of things comes into it there. So preservation of wickets seems quite a big thing, certainly through the middle. If you can stack your wickets, then you take a bit of momentum into the back end. And as I said at the start, mate, it's a bit of a different brand or style of 50-over cricket that I've been used to in the 3 years I've played it at Hampshire. So, yeah, just a big messaging around, certainly from the head coaches have been around adapting quickly to whatever gets thrown at us. And, you know, that square's seeing a lot of cricket anyway, what with the franchise stuff that goes on out here. So, yeah, it could be a real mixed bag, mate, to be honest. But that's all part of the challenge. It's all part of the reason you come out here and test yourself and see what it's all about. And you obviously don't know too much about Canada, but, you know, the UAE have got some real talent, some guys that can bowl pretty quick, some handy spinners and some batters that take it on as well. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll be pretty close affairs.
Yeah, you mentioned not knowing much about Canada. How do you sort of go about that then? I guess, Brad, you had the experience of that last summer with, you know, some of the European teams that, I mean, you won't have played before, but Scotland in general won't have played much. So how do you go about that?
Yeah, I remember the question that you asked me when we last spoke. And again, my answer to me still sort of rings true, and I remember it now, because the answer I told you, and it'll be the answer I give you now, is that I think, you know, it speaks to the whole team, that we'll bring our plan A and our strengths, we'll bring it to Canada. We're not going to sort of be dictated by them. I think, you know, if we stick to our A game, we impose ourselves on them, then, you know, the lack of knowledge is kind of, I don't know, the significance of it is sort of decreased, in my opinion.
I think, like always, mate, you try and focus on yourselves more than anything. And like Bradley's just said there, play to your own strengths. You know, I've always believed that if you do that and you can control and bring your best game, then you've got every chance of being successful, irrespective of who you're playing against. So, yeah, certainly from my point of view, I try to keep it quite simple, mate. I'm not overly fussed about who we're up against. It's, you know, going out there, not fearing anyone, taking them on and getting into a contest. And then, you know, cricket's that sort of funny old game, isn't it, where if it's your day, you're up and you win. And then if not, you can sort of learn and reflect and then go into the next game. We've got four opportunities here to get four wins, which is really exciting. And I'm sure we'll learn plenty along the way as we go.
Yeah, and this is a start of, you know, there's a lot of cricket this year for Scotland. We've got, you know, a few different Cricket World League 2 series, and obviously the T20 World Cup is, I suppose, sort of the crown jewel there in the middle in June. How exciting is this year as a whole for Scottish cricket now?
Yeah, it's massive. Looking at sort of my calendar with coaches, agents and, you know, friends alike as well, and just sort of seeing, plotting where we are and who we're playing, where we're playing, stuff like that. And it's, you know, look at your calendar and it's like, it's full. It might sneak October off again this year, but no, it's brilliant. You know, being out here, home series in May, potential for the World Cup. I think I'm not getting October off this year, so I think we're in America. You know, and obviously Scott's got the county season to look forward to. Mine might be slightly less, obviously just with the Blast this year, but that sort of gives me flexibility to be here, there and everywhere with Scotland, as well as the Blast for Sussex. So,
yeah, I'll give you a slightly different answer, mate. I've been guilty of counting my chickens in the past, so I try not to look too far ahead. It's sort of come back to bite me before. So, yeah, focus on what we've got to do out here first and then worry about the rest of it later on. But yeah, as you mentioned, I think, yeah, the World Cup acts as a bit of a carrot to everyone that wants to be selected for it. But yeah, I think certainly need to take care of what's in front of us out here first before we worry about the rest of it.
It's probably why people think he's the older brother. He gives a bit more of a smart answer. There's me. I am counting my chickens. I'm looking forward to these things. But no, we control the controllables while we're out here. You know, we get these four games done and then on to the T20s out here, I suppose, as well. But that's still exciting, isn't it? Come on.
Yeah, you've got to look forward to the exciting stuff, haven't you? Give you something to look forward to this year at least. But last question, I guess, from me. We had Mark Watt on the the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he announced himself as the team DJ. So I would like your reviews of him as a team DJ, please.
We've got, when's this aired? Because we've got to be careful, because he's had a promotion from team DJ where he said he's picked up another job, so we might have to be careful here. But I don't know, he's picking the mood all right. I'm not gonna give him an A star, but I'm not gonna fail him. I think he's flying in A minus B at the moment. Some of the songs on the bus get my little violin out at the time, and if it's in the morning, you don't want something too upbeat, or you're coming back from a game, it's sort of quite chilled. So I think he's read the room okay. Give him an okay.
No, I think he's good, mate. He cares for everyone. The only thing I'd mark him against is his speaker's awful. It sounds terrible. So he needs to, with a bit of his money, he needs to buy himself a new speaker, I think. But what he actually produces, what comes out of it, is pretty good. So no complaints from me. It's nice to have a bit of background noise, and he, like Bradley said, he sort of characterises the mood quite well, depending on what stage of the day we're at, or what's happened in the day. So, yeah, good on you, Woy.
Sounds like you both want to keep him sweet and on side with those answers then.
We probably should. Not giving too much away with the in-camp rules and stuff, but yeah, he's someone we should be nice to, I think.
No, he's good, mate. You sort of probably look at him as one of the bigger characters in the group. He's been around quite a long time and played quite a fair amount of cricket. And I guess you've always looked to your, or any team I've been in, I think you're only ever as good as your senior players. And he's a pretty good one at that, both on and off the field. So, yeah, it's important you have guys like that around who are such big players on and off the field. And, yeah, my boy certainly does that pretty well, I think.
Perfect. Well, I think that's a great note to end on, giving Mark what a good appraisal. So thanks both for coming on the show, and good luck for the next couple of weeks out in Dubai.
Cheers, Tom. Appreciate your time, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you so much again to Brad and Scott for coming on, and best of luck to them and the rest of the team as they officially start their campaign tomorrow, which, again, you can watch live and free on ICC TV from 6 a.m. And for everyone at home, if you've got any stories you'd like to share with us, please do send them to podcast@cricketscotland.com. We would absolutely love to hear from you. Thank you again so much to everyone for listening, and I hope you have a fabulous weekend, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.